the Bill's Famous Cheese Spread Studios in the downstairs pub. The Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and bellied up to the bar, Jim Fregosi Jr., otherwise known as the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
He kind of looked like Fregosi. He kind of looked like, I'm trying to think of who the big boy was. Anyways, he coached my Redbirds, my Louisville Redbirds, and one of my favorite AAA managers ever.
Back in the glory days when that was a big deal here in town.
Big. Big. Packed.
Yeah,
Dollar like beer night.
2 million fans a season type of
buddy,
scenario.
Pork tenderloin sandwich, beer garden.
They had triple nickel night.
Triple nickel night. Sun going down at Old Cardinal Stadium. Mm. Kids up there popping wax cups.
Yeah.
Up in the top.
Watching that them play on that field and knowing that anybody could dislocate anything at any point in time.
True.
That's right.
True.
Yeah, that was literally like aquarium carpet on concrete.
You know, I saw Indiana play a football game there one time.
Well, congrats for everybody making it out alive.
I was too young, I think, to understand what a dump it was even back then. This would have been in the, I guess, the late 80s, I'm thinking.
Hell, it was still nice then. That thing went on into early 2000.
Because I remember Indiana, at least in my memory, was blowing them out bad enough that I was trying to convince my dad to take me to the amusement park that I could see right over the press box there. that didn't happen, but of course that was some 30 years before I moved here, so I didn't really know.
But if you mention the Redbirds, you have to mention A-Ray Smith. You know what I mean? A-Ray Smith was the, I don't know, like the greatest, what is the greatest show on earth? I mean, he was one of the
greatest
showmen.
Concrete.
He's one of the greatest showmen that this town's ever seen, other than Schnellenberger and Jurich.
You know,
I mean, for real.
I think every, like, old school, at least, I shouldn't say every, but it's interesting you said that because my friends in Indianapolis, I won't even have to mention his name. They'll know who I'm going to bring up when I talk about the Indianapolis Indians. They had a guy named Razor Shines. And, you know, the crowd would be your typical AAA crowd just sitting there, you know, watching the game. And when it was his time to come up to Ben, you know, the announcer would go, now batting number 26, John Smith. And then now batting, Razor Shines. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool. You know, he was one of those lifers, you know, had been with the Indians for God knows how many years. I'm going to say close to 20. And right at the very end of his career, the Expos were totally out of it, and they called him up, and he got to play a week in the big leagues.
I feel like every major league franchise has their real life Crash Davis.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Like Louisville had Corky Miller.
Yeah,
you know the Bats version, not the
right
the Red right. Reds or Redbirds.
You know, I threw out a first pitch at the Bats game one time.
Did you?
Corky Miller was the guy that caught it.
Did you? Make a good pitch?
I did make a good pitch.
Who was it that botched the pitch last week? I meant to talk about it on the podcast last week, but it went like 3 feet, like spiked it right in the ground.
Oh, no. I haven't seen that.
It was worse than 50 cents. I'll have to look
that
up.
Yeah, you have to look that up because I love seeing the botched first pitches. The mayor of Cincinnati had an all-time one a few seasons ago. Gary Delabate from the Howard Stern Show had an all-time terrible one. But, you know, I can't imagine doing it at a major league park.
Alvin Kamara.
Oh.
I love it when it's like a professional athlete or like a tough guy type guy, and like it's like, boom, there
you go.
Well,
they should let Joe Burrow throw one.
Ooh.
Let's do it.
Dude. All right, I want to get into this real quick.
Is his hair I think he's got new hair.
We got to talk about this. So Netflix, they brought the quarterback series back.
Right.
For season two. I haven't got through it completely yet. I'm like three episodes in. It's Joe Burrow. They brought back Kirk Cousins because I think he was a fan favorite.
Yep, I saw that.
Who did they bring back? Who?
Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I thought you said
and, Ocho Cinco. What's the other one? Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins. Jeez.
I don't know.
My brain's not fired. I've been sick, guys, so sorry if my voice sounds bad. My brain's not firing.
Yeah, it sounds like
I'm off.
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, Silver Tongue Devil. But, anyway.
Can you say... I ain't saying I beat the devil, but I drank his beer.
You gotta have a Wolfman Jack, a little Wolfman Jack sound too.
I should only do.
Hey, everybody out there!
I should only do karaoke when I'm sick.
Yeah, you sound like Brian Adams, dude. Yeah. Cuts like a knife.
But no, man. So Joe Burrow is highlighted big time in these first three episodes, and if I've always kind of had suspicions that the guy's a little weird. And I'm not, look, the guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Top three, four, five, hands down, no argument. Guy's a little weird, man. And you guys need to lock in on that and watch that.
Because
we
strange.
Get some inside look at Joey Burrow.
Jared Goff is the third.
Jared Goff, yeah, that's, and it's, he's awesome. Like, Jared Goff's a guy you'd hang out with.
So give us an example of something that Burrow just. Just a little teaser for the audience might pique their interest a little bit.
All right. When you get, he's got like a room in his house for all the clothes. And he has this dude who's like a stylist that comes over and helps lay his clothes out for him so he can wear. And like, it's kind of fascinating to see his style choices and what he's into. And like, and he bought a Batmobile.
Joe Burrow has some weird style choices.
He did. He bought a Batmobile. He went to, I guess, Fashion Week in Milan.
Okay.
Where he wore this nice looking suit and had the back cut out of it, where you could see his back.
What?
Yeah, it was just the back was gone out of the suit. You could see like the dress shirt was cut a little, like an inch longer, so you could see the white dress shirt. And then I don't know, dude. He's it's not a lot of personality, just very monotone. You don't see a lot of excitement. Just the way he interacts with the coaches, it's, yeah, I mean, you know what?
Well, I'll have to check that out because I had forgotten that was on already. I did see some highlights of Kirk Cousins, a couple of his interview little snippets where he was talking about how he found out that they drafted Mike and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you'd be interested in that storyline for sure.
Yeah.
And, but, yeah, man, but that being said, I'm not knocking the guy. Like, if I didn't have Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback and I had to pick, give me a savant that's a little weird over some dude that I'd like to drink beers with that's going to throw, like, you know, 30 interceptions
I'd like to drink beers with Gardner Minshew.
I don't want him starting.
But I've already seen that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope Patty stays healthy because I might see that movie.
But, So there's a little teaser for something to look at on Netflix while baseball's in its all-star break here. As we record this, tonight is the Home Run Derby. All-star game will be tomorrow night. always enjoy both of those events very much.
I love it.
Ellie De La Cruz is... in it for the Redlegs. Anyone else of quote unquote local interest or of, is there a Dodger in it or anything?
Yeah,
like
Louisville
that?
Boy Will Smith starting catcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Of course,
Will
there's
Smith.
Dodgers in it. I think we make up about 60% of the roster. But,
what?
But I know sometimes those guys that are on real good teams. Mm. Don't want to do the home run derby because
the home run derby, the all star game.
I know there's they're lousy with Dodgers on the team.
I think the big story is I guess Cal Raleigh, who is on pace to just shatter every home run record there is, and this is a guy that I'd say most households had no idea that name even existed before this season. I think he's what, like a career 260 hitter catcher. just a, I mean, he's a good catcher, but like he's just an average player for the Seattle Mariners.
Right.
And then he just exploded this year, just murdering the ball.
Is he having a Brady Anderson type, Brady Anderson type year?
Yeah, I mean, what's he at, 38 right now at the break?
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's something crazy.
I mean, that's absurd.
You're probably a little too young to remember Brady Anderson.
No, I remember Brady Anderson. Yeah.
Well, he was that kind of player. He was a little skinny guy. It was a good defensive player. And then magically one year he gained like 65 pounds of sheer muscle and hit like 55 home runs.
I have a feeling Cal Raleigh's getting tested a little bit more than Brady Anderson was.
Yeah.
So
I would imagine that is because that was right around the time of the Sosa McGuire home run mania type thing. But
yeah, his moniker, the Big Dumper, has become pretty much made him famous. The 38 home runs and then that nickname, which like, you know, that nickname's given to you, and you just embrace it and roll with it, man. It's kind of...
So I assume he's going to be in the contest
tonight?
He's
in the Derby tonight, so...
Well, good. So that'll be exciting, something to watch. Tonight, we are going to start. It's very exciting, and I know a lot of people have been asking about it and stuff. Tonight is going to start our college football major conference previews. We are going to start with the Big 12. We're going to get to that here directly, but before we start that, we do need to at least touch on the Club World Cup final that took place yesterday as we record this, as we kind of talked about it all through the tournament. Now that it's over, we'll just touch on it a little bit. Freddie, I think you were probably as shocked as I was in the way that that the final played out, and
I was.
Although I heard you might have had a little wager on the winning side. Is that true?
Well, I did, and anyone that was betting, I mean, you looked on the thing, and you're like, wait a minute, plus 380, 420. It was 425 at one point with Chelsea. I mean, just a huge swing. Chelsea hadn't played anybody very good. Average quality teams. PSG beat a lot of better teams through the group stages.
In dominant fashion. We talked about last week.
Dominant.
They looked
dominated
like the best
Manchester
team in the world.
City. This was kind of the game like PSG played against Manchester City. And it what happened was is Chelsea just used I'm trying to think of one of the teams, not Benfica, but one of the teams beat PSG in the group stage. And Chelsea's coach did the same tactic. It was just full-fledged, once the ball was tipped off, high pressure and pushed PSG back. Everybody pushed up. They had just as many great passers as PSG, and PSG never could recover. Dembele was lost out there. I mean, put it this way. PSG had 601 passes to Chelsea's 301. 300 more passes. Chelsea wins 3-0. Definitely did bet Chelsea. You had to if you're a betting man. And, I mean, that's another quality team in a final that's, you know, getting a lot of juice there. But, Travis, you watched it with me. I thought the goalkeeper for Chelsea played fantastic.
Well, yeah, he had three saves that kept a clean. I mean,
three
world-class saves.
Right, because
it easily could have been tied at
those balls have all went in for PSG.
Yeah, it easily could have been tied. Three all.
I think the play of the game was not any of the goals for Chelsea. The play of the game was when Chelsea had it 1-0, and Desiree Douay has the ball on a breakaway. He's right there to take the shot. He's probably going to score it, and he chooses to pass it off.
Yeah.
And Cucurella blocks it. Horrible decision, and everything just went downhill from there.
Yeah.
So, Cole Palmer, the best player in England, in my opinion, by far. I'd say that Bellingham's a little bit behind him. Sorry, Harry Kane. But he gets the golden ball. He makes things happen. He shoots quickly. If you watch Cole Palmer, he is a guy that the U.S. needs to take notes on. However, Luna has taken notes because that's how he got his goals. Quick move, shot. Quick move, shot. And he just doesn't hesitate. He makes the move and does it. So I think, and a lot of fighting at the end. I think PSG was embarrassed.
They were.
They should have been. They did lose, but it happens, man.
And
I never thought Manchester City would get destroyed like that. And to see it happen at PSG blew my mind.
And they're not certainly not used to getting blown out. They're not used to getting beat. And they got blown out. And the game
126 games they've never been down 3-0.
Yeah. So that tells you. And so now
I want to say João Pedro. Cole Palmer got the golden ball, but João Pedro, who started the last two games as striker, is a star in the making. I mean, you know, that guy came in, played against his country, Fluminense, scored two goals, comes into this game, scores the first one.
Yeah,
he was my MVP of the game of the tournament because of what he did the last two games. Obviously, just one of 10 badass strikers for France. The rich get richer. France and through all these tournaments, France and Brazil. I've never seen two teams more stacked. And I do think that there will be an edge on not the Spanish, but Portugal because of their player, their fallen leader. I think they will have a chip on their shoulder. They got a lot of players too. That passed away. I think they will be ready in that World Cup with something.
Passed away.
Yeah, one of their players was in a car wreck
a couple
weeks ago. A great player.
One of their top players. Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm trying. Jota.
Yes.
Diogo Jota, he goes by Jota. So anyways, but he would, you know, obviously they'd be even better with him, but I think they're going to really have a heart-throbbing, passionate run through the World Cup for their fallen comrade there. But anyways, soccer's over. You got the Women's European Cup. Tuna's all over the Spain. He loves them. Well, we're not even going to cover that right now. Let's get to football.
Yes. As we said before, tonight starts our major conference college football preview. We're going to start this week with the Big 12. Next week, we will do the ACC. The following week, we will do the Big 10. And we will finish it up with the almighty SEC. So... Big 12.
One may be like an eight-hour show.
It could be. I'm going to have to keep Freddie on a buzzer over there.
Boop, drink. I'm going to bring three bottles of champagne for that. And Tuna's going to drink with me, too.
You're probably going to force. I mean, he's going to turn to the bottle after he hears
pontificating. I figured I'd already got him on the bottle after today's text thread.
The Big 12, much like last year, at least from everything that I've read and doing some research the last few days, appears to be fairly completely wide open, much like it was last year. I saw maybe four different teams picked, depending on who I looked at their because they didn't do an official preseason ranking thing this year, which I wasn't aware of till I started looking at that. So I was looking at like the CBS and the Phil Steele and the ESPN and all the different ones. And they all kind of have a consensus of the top five just mixed up, you know, mixed in different directions in different orders. You want to start at the bottom, maybe, and work our way towards the top?
We can start at the kind of bottom. Like, I don't feel there's any need to mention Cincinnati at all. If you live in Cincinnati and you pull for Cincinnati, I'm sorry. I'm sure you can find something local that will talk about your football team, but nobody else will this season or anywhere else. It's you guys hired Scott Satterfield as your coach. We thank you for it. I personally love you for that, but in the reality, you're irrelevant in college football right now. We have a short podcast, so we don't have time for you, Cincinnati.
Interestingly enough, yeah. You know where Phil Steele has Cincinnati in his out of 16 teams? Mm-hmm. Take a guess where he has Cincinnati finishing. Now, a lot of the teams below them, he basically says, look, we just don't know anything about these teams yet. That's why I don't have a real feel as to where they're going.
Yeah.
No, Take a guess where he's got them.
I'm going to say 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. He has them at 9th.
Here's a secret about Phil Steele. He's usually the first one to put out his previews for college football, and he always puts some crazy stuff mixed in there just to get the rumors going.
Yeah, get
fans
it going
engaged
on social media and stuff.
Which is a smart move, but we know that there's no way that Cincinnati's finishing 9th in this league.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
So cross Cincinnati off the list.
I mean, damn, I'm a man, I'm 40. Was 3-9 last year. Where are you going to put him?
And they didn't win.
He didn't win a conference game. At least Cincinnati was 5-7.
Let me start with. We'll just use Phil Steele's rankings.
Okay.
As a template.
Okay.
Because that's how I have them listed. The 16th team, and again, he says it's just because he has no idea. What's going to happen, and I don't even think in the three things that I read, nobody really talked about any of the players. All they talked about was that Rich Rod was back,
mm-hmm.
and that's West Virginia.
Right.
Prodigal son returns. I don't know anything about any of their players, what they've done in the offseason transfer portal, who they have coming back, but they had them listed last essentially because of that reason. Tuna, do you know anything about West Virginia?
Yeah, I know that this is actually going to be – this team is actually set up for Rich Rod to have success. That's why I think they're going to finish a little bit higher than what people think. I get the unknown. There's a lot of unknowns in college football. I mean, you're looking at new rosters
for
all
sure.
around.
I love what Rich Rod did at his past school. I think they're going to have a nice offensive boost, if you will. Do you not agree?
Yeah, no. Yeah. They've got a massive offensive line. I think they're averaging like 333 pounds across the board. Jaheim White, no relation to Pat White. I know everybody gets excited when they hear Rich Rod and the last name White.
Yeah, right.
Excellent little running back. I think a lot of people have him as a preseason first team Big 12 running back.
Wow.
They're going to lean on the running back. They got a transfer, Jalen Knighton, from SMU, which a lot of people are familiar with him out of SMU's run last year. They've got some talent on this team. The secondary has some holes in it. I expect some, high-scoring games. I'm curious to see what his defense goes to, if he goes back to that, 3-3-5 defense that he always ran.
Right.
So there's a lot of unknowns, but Rich Rod's a good coach, even though he wasn't at Arizona or Michigan. But he did great at Jacksonville State and West Virginia before. Now, granted, he did have Pat White and Steve Slayton and Noel Devine, and
that is true.
So, and a lot of times, the second time back at your school doesn't always work out. I.e., Bobby Petrino. I'm sure there's several others I'm not thinking about right now. But
but one thing is, it immediately, at least for me, and I think for you guys would agree, it makes me want to watch them on television. If I see that they're going to be playing, I'm going to tune in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun football to watch. I don't think they're going to be out of many games, and I don't know. I'm excited to watch it. They're going to be much more fun to watch than the Cincinnati Bearcats.
I would agree. I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
Fred, anything else on West Virginia?
No. I had them picked to finish third to last in the league.
Okay.
But I do think that they're going to definitely have an up. Having bet on Jacksonville State, right?
Yes.
Yeah, with Rich Rod a lot last year. They put a lot of points on the board, and I did well with them, and I think they're going to have a fun little boost. Like Tua said, there's going to be some excitement, and that's what they needed.
Yep.
There, so.
Definitely. Next team listed on Phil Steele's.
Let me try to guess Phil Steele's while
okay.
we're going along.
Okay.
Yeah, you say one, and I'll say one.
UCF.
No.
Okay.
I was going to go Oklahoma State.
Okay.
No.
That's all I got.
He's got Arizona.
Okay.
4-8 last year. They do have 16 starters returning, which sometimes with a 4-8 team, that's not a great thing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, you get one, two really good new guys mixed in. Could change the whole mentality of a ball club. Tuna, what do you think about the Wildcats out in the desert?
Noah Fifita's back. I mean, he was fine. He was good. That defense was historically bad last
terrible.
Year.
Terrible.
I think they were in the bottom, 3% of all of college football in almost every defensive statistic. I don't know. You don't know what you're going to get with Arizona. I really have no idea. Satori McMillan's gone. That was their big play guy last year.
Yeah. Great wide receiver.
Done. Yeah. They don't really have anybody on this roster that stands out to me where I'm like, okay, this guy's a playmaker.
If you had to guess, you think they go over 4 wins this year?
I'd say so, just because the desert at night is a tough place to play.
Yeah.
And they'll win some non-conference games and get one or two in conference games on those night games. But do I consider them a contender? No.
Right. Fred, anything else on Arizona?
No, I just think that through their coaching change, I think that the help me out with the coach before who left, before they got this guy last year.
Jesus.
The guy whose name we kept forgetting. Brennan's
the guy we kept forgetting. Right, he's the coach now.
Oh.
No, it's Jed Fish.
Fish.
Yeah. He's up at Washington.
I think Jed Fish did some great things with that team, and I feel like the transition went downhill a little bit.
I forgot he went from Washington.
And I think Jed Fish is doing great things. And I think I have Washington down the line when we get into that. Moving up and having a good year this year, where I have Arizona going down. So I just think this coach is in a longer transition. And even though this conference is flat this year, in my opinion, I think Tuna and I have even discussed, we don't see maybe anyone coming out of this, out of the Big 12. Maybe. But I do see this team. I see him going 3-8.
Now, you look at this roster, they do have a running back on there that we know probably just from gambling, and Texas State was one of our favorite teams
yes.
last year. That Ishmael Mahdi, he transferred there. He's decent, but, always wonder how these guys make that move. I don't know. I don't know how this one's going to work out. This could be a year for Brett Brenham.
Yeah, I just think the bottom of the Big 12 is – not going to be very exciting.
All right, speaking of the bottom of the Big 12, we are now at the 14th ranked team according to Phil Steele's prognostication. Tuna?
I think you
already said
UCF.
It. Yeah.
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State it is. 0-9 in the league last year. 0-9 in the league last year.
And went and 3-9 overall.
Speaking of,
there's Brent, no way he can do this.
Look at it real quick. Travis, turn your head sideways real quick. Doesn't that kind of look like Mike Gundy right there?
Yeah, yeah, you do.
I can definitely see that.
You have part mullet. Yes, he's got that full. He's got a great full head of hair.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Great full head of hair. You know, one of the funny. Now he's probably getting old and grumpy and gray.
You're speaking of Gundy, not
yeah,
me.
No, Gundy. but dude, like smack me on the face if I'm saying something wrong. But were you not surprised at last year? It was such a drop off, where it was like they weren't even involved in games. They weren't tight. There was no fight. You know how sometimes they start off flat in a game and they come back. And especially at home.
Right.
And win, and there just was none of that. And, you know, he's got the goddamn field named after him. I'm beginning to wonder if this is a situation where it's a motivational thing. Like, is he in that same situation like Dabo? Well, I'm going to get whoever I want to get when I want to get them. You know, he seems like one of those guys that may not move with the Joneses,
well,
if
that's,
you will.
That's exactly what I was going to say. If you listen to him speak at Media Days this year, I was a little bit baffled when you listen to him talk because he just sounds so naive.
Totally.
To the
way I was shocked.
It's
by
crazy.
The college football game is played nowadays. And
he's holding a grudge harder than Dabo
like,
is, I think.
Yeah, I think he even said it. He's like, we're going to start. You know,
I mean, he came right out and he was like, "This we just hired,
yeah,
like four, whatever, five guys to
yeah.
do this.
I don't.
Everybody else has had these guys for 3 years.
I don't think he knew what NIL stood for. I honestly don't.
Yeah,
like I really don't. So he's gonna have to adjust. And I think we all kind of thought when the Big 12 split up, Texas and Oklahoma were gone. It's like, okay, well, Oklahoma State can really shine now.
They seem to be that team that was set
up to slide
in there.
I think besides Satterfield, we've named our second coach officially on the hot seat.
Yeah.
Because Oklahoma State has a proud program, even though, you know, they've had some great Heisman Trophy winners and they've always done well and won some Big 12 championships. I think that the natives are getting restless.
Well, they sure as hell aren't going to put up with another year like they had
no,
last season.
No, they are not used to that.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, they have all the money in the world.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
So it's like, why isn't that money getting spent? I don't know. It's a weird situation. I know Gundy can coach when he's got talent. I just think there's been a lack of talent.
Right.
I mean, they're even hitting the transfer portal for like guys from like Georgia State, Marshall, and you know, no offense to Western Kentucky, but hitting, you know, they got Darius Thomas who from Western Kentucky, who is a good linebacker.
Right.
He played well.
And,
actually,
and that's another thing too. You bring up a great point. What these teams that we're talking about at the bottom? I mean, dude, nowadays when you try to go through and list teams that you think are going to finish, and there's so much change and transfers and. Mm-hmm. That you really don't know what they're going to do totally. Like, one of these teams could maybe get hot and go 3-0, and you never know what's going to happen. A transfer starts playing great, but I'm going by mostly the feel of last year and the feel of this year based on what they're saying. And it just – Oklahoma State just seems like that they have their tires stuck in the mud.
But all that being said, I'm going to assume that both of you predict better than 0-9 in the league this year.
I would say that they,
man,
yes,
I hope so.
I do. I mean, I have Central Florida doing worse than Oklahoma State.
Unless
I think
he has.
Tuna does too.
Here's the thing, man. As weird as we think that guy is, everybody that's played for him, all the guys that's played for him, would jump and train in front of trains for that guy.
Yeah.
You know what? So it's like, I feel like he's got to get the locker room together and like reboot and
right.
It's
they can't get any worse. It's
no,
rock
it's
bottom.
Like that's one program where you know there's not going to be a locker room mutiny. You know,
yeah.
Right.
So
I see improvement there. I have them further
it
up on
literally
my list.
Can't get any worse. So yeah. All right, we go to 13, Freddie. I'm going to let you guess the 13th team.
Well, that's Tuna's pick.
Actually, I'm going to change it.
Are you really?
Yeah, okay. I think me and Phil Steele think a little differently. Okay, I'm going to say Phil Steele's going with Colorado.
Yeah, see, or maybe I'm still going. I have my Central. I mean, I have Central Florida down low with Gus. I think Gus is.
Gus ain't there, buddy.
I'm not Gus.
National championship winning Scott Frost.
Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think that they have.
We'll get to them.
Okay. Well, that was my pick.
We'll get to them. It is indeed Colorado.
Okay.
He has them at 13th. Now, I know that, obviously, Travis Hunter is gone. Shedeur Sanders is gone. People are talking about this freshman quarterback, Julian Lewis, who's in a competition with a returning player that's set behind Sanders, Kadon Salter.
Well, he was at Liberty.
Oh, so he came.
He transferred. He was at Liberty.
Oh, he came from Liberty.
Yeah, he was the kid from Liberty that everybody raved about going into last year.
I hope Julian Lewis gets the job.
Well, he left Liberty, so cut him some slack. You
know. He might have been kicked out, which means he's a good player.
And I apologize there. I thought you wanted me to pick my third team, but we're going in order. I got you.
We're guessing who Phil Steele has there. So we know that quarterback competition is going on. Tuna, what else do we know about Colorado?
Again, they bring in a lot of transfers. I know the offensive line did, on paper, improve.
They had to.
So I think Deion's learning that in non-HBCU football, it revolves around the line of scrimmage and not positional players. So this year we're going to find out really what if Deion Sanders is a good coach or not.
Right.
You know, this team, with the way the Big 12 is, they should at least finish 6-6. I mean, honestly, their secondary is vastly improved with, you know, DJ McKinney. That secondary couldn't get much worse. So we'll see. I'd like to see them. I don't really know what they're going to do, offensively, what it's going to look like. So it's hard to really predict this team,
right,
and how it's going to go. I think everything that, like, all his playbooks that he had instilled, I think they're just throwing them out and starting something completely new this season.
They almost have to, right?
Yeah. So you have to game plan to cover up your weaknesses, and there's a lot of them on this. And yeah. I do. I honestly think that Deion Sanders can coach football. I may be wrong there, but
I'm inclined to agree with you, honestly.
Yeah.
And I hope he does well, because he's entertaining. It makes college football like, I would never seek out a Colorado. I mean, of course, I'm a college football fan. If there's a game on, we'll watch it. But if Colorado, if I see they're on and there's not another team that I care about, I'm looking to watch their game, because I want to see how he's doing, you know. Mm-hmm. It makes it interesting, right?
Yep.
Fred, anything on Colorado? Anything else?
No.
So now we move to number 12. Now we're with UCF.
Yeah.
Now we're with another return of a prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Former national championship-winning coach.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the...
Hang the banner, boys.
We saw it flying over Camping World Stadium, by God. Freddie was with me. UCF, was it 2017 national champions? Was that, would it be the year it was?
I've never heard of that.
I said, Fred, look at that airplane up there.
I've seen the plane. I've never heard of it.
Players got
like
rings,
that.
Man.
I don't think so.
I don't know anything about UCF except that Scott Frost came back. What do we know about them? Do we know anything about them, Tuna?
I know they lost a ton, man.
Yeah.
You know, KJ Jefferson's gone. You know, RJ Hunter's gone. Penny Boone gone. Like, it's just, I look at this roster and I don't know what Scott Frost is going to do with this. Again, there's a bunch of new additions on this team. Scott Frost has been known to work well with less talent. He's gimmicky as all get out. They're going to win some games just because he's gimmicky, and they're going to get punched in the mouth a lot because he's gimmicky. So, like, he has no place in, like, real big-time football, but we've seen that in Nebraska. But at a place like UCF and in a league like what the Big 12 is right now, not what the Big 12 could be, but right now, he could win a few games in this. So, I don't look for them to really compete much at all. So
you think 12th is about right for them?
Like, yeah, like I was saying them lower than that.
Okay.
You know?
Well, yeah, yeah, right.
So,
Fred,
my prediction,
I had them lower than that.
Yeah,
yeah.
After we go through this, the way this list
just
is,
just another situation where, you know, the top eight and top seven teams have their quarterbacks returning. They don't. They lost a lot of players, like Tuna said. I can't really comment on them too much just because of that situation. I just don't know.
At the end of the program, I am going to have you guys go through what you think your order of finish is going to be. But for the sake of this exercise, we'll just go through the way that Phil Steele has it. Number 11. Tuna, who do you think they've got ranked or picked number 11?
Let me say TCU.
Brett, who do you think they got number 11?
No, I should have been. I want to change it.
I'm going to go with, he had Colorado. I'm trying to think of who is down there. It definitely ain't TCU.
I
have them up.
Yeah,
higher.
I wanted to change that. I'm going to change it to Kansas.
Take it. Are you?
Yeah.
It's not Kansas.
Okay,
but
I'm going to go Utah.
No.
No.
It's okay. Houston.
Okay.
Houston, another team that has almost their entire starting offense and defense back. I don't know what that means. They have 18 returning starters. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I have no
idea.
We
like their coach, don't we?
I'm sorry, who did we say?
Houston.
Oh, yeah, Willie Fritz. And that's what I was going to say about Willie Fritz.
We were talking about it.
I know you're a huge fan of Slick Willie.
This is his third year, and if you look at all the five programs he's been at before, you know, what's his record, like 42-11 or something like that?
I think he's right here.
So I think he's got his guys put in. It's not flashy. Willie Fritz has never been flashy. But this is – I honestly believe that Houston could compete for like a top 3-4 spot in this league. I wouldn't be surprised if they just somehow won it. But, I mean, that would be a shocker for sure. But I do like this Houston team. They are full of veterans. They got a coach that is made for this. And he settled in at Houston. And I really like this team. I think they're – Phil Steele's kind of crapping on them a bit.
Well, and he did say on that preview, this is a team to keep an eye on. If they get hot early, they could move up to the top fairly quickly.
Yeah. There's several teams just like Houston.
This
Pac or Big 12 is made up with teams just like Houston.
Right. And if you go and read this preview that I'm pulling this ranking from, you will see that, like, when you get to the top 11 or so, every one of them, he says, now this is a team that could compete for the title, you know, if things hit just right and turn just right.
And now they do bring in Slade Nagel, Willie Fritz's former offensive coordinator that he had at Tulane before.
Mm-hmm.
So he's back with him, and Connor Wegman, you know that name, the old Texas A&M quarterback, he's leading the charge for them. So, and this is a tight end that I know everyone knows from Maction. He had a lot of big Maction games for Ball State. Tanner Koziel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I remember him.
Yeah, him being down at Houston, that's big. Willie Fritz loves the tight ends. So, I do. I look for Houston to really be a force in this league this year.
So, needless to say, you think they will finish better than 11th.
Yeah,
I would anticipate.
I'm not big on future bets and over-unders because you tie your money up for so long.
Right.
But that's one I would probably definitely lean on.
Right. All right. We go to number 10. Fred, you have a guess as to who number 10 might be, and according to Phil Steele?
Utah.
You're going to keep saying Utah.
I am, because I don't think they're going to be that good this year, personally.
You're going to be waiting for a while.
Really? Okay.
Tuna, who do you think?
I'm going to keep saying Kansas.
It is Kansas. Okay. He's got Kansas at number 10. Jalen Daniels is back.
I don't agree with that at all.
He only played – how many games did he play last year? Just a couple, right?
Yeah.
Two or three. What else do we know about this Kansas
team? I feel like I have given Lance Leopold way too much credit. I really do. Like, I keep saying, I've lost so much money betting on this guy.
They got a couple good lines coming back.
He had that big, you know, two big years, and then it was just, like, remember they were just opening the gates and letting all the fans in for free and all that stuff? And it was, and they actually had some sellouts there, and it was a fun atmosphere. I'm out on Lance Leopold, and I may eat my words on that. And Jalen Daniels, he's good when he plays, and I don't know what he's really.
I mean, they did kind of look rough last year. I mean, they really didn't come through like we thought that they would. Towards the end of the year, they started playing people a little bit tougher, some of those games, but I didn't think Daniels had that great of a game. I think there's more upside, like you said, to a team like Houston.
Yeah, I definitely do. Kansas is not a scary environment to play in. I don't think that this Kansas team is – I don't think they're a bowl team.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay.
I think Jalen Daniels is good. The reason why I'm down on Utah, and I know their new quarterbacks could be really, really good.
He was good at New Mexico.
But you're kind of talking me into it a little bit, Tune, now they do have a good line returning.
Yeah, they got all-conference center.
Who?
Yeah.
Kansas
does. Yeah, they have a good line returning. But like Tuna said, the defense is not really there, and if you can't stop anybody.
They did bring in a new defensive coordinator, so there is an unknown there.
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to get here. Usually, if you got a solid quarterback and a good offensive line, I've got your back. I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of going against the grain on this one just because I've watched Lance Leopold crap his pants too many times.
This guy's
22.
We did lose a lot of them last 22 year.
22 and 28, man.
Yeah.
22 and 28 as a head coach.
Yeah.
Like,
and you
know.
Wouldn't think that because of those couple really good years he had.
That's the thing. And take those out, and then what are we looking at?
They kind of became like America's team that one year when they had been so bad. Didn't they beat Oklahoma or something?
Yeah,
and
they did.
That walk-on
or
whatever.
Texas.
Yeah.
They beat Texas.
All right. So we already know who number 9 was. We went over that with being UC, who I think we all think is going to finish way lower than that. Number 8, Tuna, who do you think that we've got at number 8?
Man, this is where it's
now we're starting to get into the teams that, I mean, now theoretically we talked about Houston, but I think now we're getting into teams that all, if things break right, could be towards the top of the league.
Baylor.
No.
Okay.
You want me to say one?
Fred, you got a guess on this?
Yeah,
one?
Utah.
Nope. We've got Brigham Young University coming in at number 8.
11-2 last year.
I know they have a really good wide receiver. And apparently they...
Chase Roberts.
Yes. Mm. Apparently they may have the best kickoff or kicker / and kick returner in the entire league.
Will Farron, yeah.
You're right. Will Farron is the kicker. The kick returner is Parker
An
Kingston.
Exciting guy.
Who they say is, you know, kind of a threat to break one at just about any time, which, you know, a lot of times can be the difference in some of these tight conference games. What else do we know about Brigham Young?
They're dealing with a quarterback transfer issue.
Yeah, they lost.
Jake Ratliff was dismissed for a conduct code violation. So, well, he wasn't dismissed. He was going to be suspended 7 games.
Yeah.
So he decided to transfer. Has he announced where he's transferring yet?
That I don't know.
If I was Josh Heupel, I'd be having dinner with him every night of the week.
If you want to kind of go down a rabbit hole about the honor code and the way different people see different things, find. I spent like an hour one night reading. Someone had linked on social media the Brigham Young like message board, and it was so interesting getting both sides of this, like the hardcore, you know, honor code, I suppose, like the fundamentalist Mormon type thought process versus the, come on, man, this guy can really play football type of thing. I found that very interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, that was very weird. And I tell you what, now that the Mormons are spending money like that, they may have to look a little sideways on this conduct
but,
code.
But, you know, hey, to their credit, you remember that year they were going to be a really top seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And they suspended, what's his name? The basketball player was so good for them.
Jimmer? I don't know. Jimmer didn't get suspended.
No, it wasn't him. It was the other guard on that team.
Oh, I...
That, like, was their second leading scorer and made, like, kind of stirred the... Anyway, they have a history of, like, not pushing that stuff to the side.
Who do you not want to play late at night?
Yeah, I mean, BYU, you know, and that's the thing. I think Phil still, even though
they did lose a decent amount. I love their
coach,
though.
They did, but man, they have spent a lot of money, and they have a lot of talent on this roster. Like, they have brought in a lot of guys.
Yes.
And they're probably one of the most talented teams, except for that quarterback position.
I think, yeah.
Now, there is a freshman quarterback I'd like to see get the job with the name Bear Bachmeyer.
Bachmeyer, yes.
Yeah, I'd like to see that happen, but. Other than that, like, if you don't have a quarterback, I don't know, they may be able to just win on defense, running the ball, and keeping it simple. Hell, Louisville won 10 games with Jake Plummer, so they can win with any of these guys
but
on the roster.
Don't forget, BYU, look what they did last year. I mean, 11-2 is fantastic.
It was the best overall record in the conference.
Right, right.
So, yeah, no, I don't count BYU out. And what's his name? Sataki? Their head coach.
I love that guy.
So basically, we think if they get any sort of quality quarterback play, they have a real chance to compete.
Yeah, they always seem to have a good game plan in the game. They do what they do. They don't change to what you do, and they have that great atmosphere. And he doesn't panic. He's one of those. I just like the guy a lot.
Yeah,
the more and more I've watched them play. Last year was a lot because they were fun, you know.
Said it all last season. Mormons are hot right now.
And that wide receiver.
Still hot.
Wide receiver's like an old Kalen DeBoer out there. Chase is the man.
Yeah.
Right, he's good, dude. Chase Roberts is a bad
he is.
Wide receiver.
I think he's getting a little, like, third-team All-American love, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously he's not going to be up there with those other guys. But, he's definitely one of the top – probably the top receiver in the conference next to Tyson from Iowa State or Arizona State.
And at TCU. There's a good one at TCU too. But, yeah, I agree.
Overall, I could see BYU making noise in this conference and threatening to win it.
Yeah.
I really could.
Yeah.
So they are a contender. That's how crazy this league is.
Yeah.
It's wide, really wide open.
They're better than the next team.
Speaking of number 7, do we want to guess at number 7?
I'm gonna let Fred take that one.
Fred's gonna say Utah.
That's right.
It's still not right.
I mean, Phil's still smoking something.
Now I'm gonna go TCU.
TCU.
I guess. I mean, that, you know, they went 9-4 last year.
Yeah.
The wide receiver you were talking about is that Eric McAllister, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they got more than just him.
Yeah, no, they're a loaded team, and this team got hot last year at the end of the season. Them and Baylor are the two teams in this league that just, like, caught fire.
Yeah, and their quarterback, Josh Hoover, second in the league in passing. I see them moving up. And, I mean, I have them higher than what old Phil has.
Well, right, and as we said, pretty much any of these teams, and I saw these
You just like Joseph Manjack the Fourth.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a great name that is.
Well, I mean, they've got...
Put that one on the list.
Yeah, it's got to be all-name team.
Yeah, but they've got an all-conference... I mean, they have a decent up-and-coming defense. They have an all-conference DB or corner, if you will, I think, on the defense. And from me playing them last year, like you said, they got hotter than hell out there, and I remember us begging them. And the funny thing about it was, is the other teams weren't scoring a lot of points on them.
No.
So I was watching their defense, and knowing that they have such a good quarterback and wide receiver, I see them being higher up.
They got LSU transfer safety, Colin Jackson.
Now, I want y'all to look at something that on this TCU team, now that we're on this. Their schedule looks tough.
Mm-hmm.
Their schedule looks a little bit harder than some of the other ones that I've looked at. Travis, you got that pulled up?
I can pull it up real quick.
I mean,
you never know when Hypnotoad comes out down there in Fort Worth, though.
No, I mean, and you know, TCU, you knew they were going to go down a little bit after that Georgia whooping when they were.
Well, the year after their championship game run,
right?
That was just an awful year.
Just an awful year.
And then last year it started out so bad. And then, remember, they got beat by Colorado,
right? But they put something together there.
Oh my God. Do you guys know who they opened the season with this year?
I know it's somebody.
You want to talk about must-see television?
I know it's a tough schedule.
Bill Belichick and the North Carolina Tar Heels.
That's on Monday night, too, I believe.
Yeah, it's September 1st.
Memorial Day.
I can't wait for that.
That's a Memorial Day night game.
Labor Day.
Labor Day, yeah.
Anything else stick out at you on that schedule? Don't they have – I thought they had one more.
They open with North Carolina, and then they play
– just their
– somebody I don't know. Then SMU.
Which is a tough game.
Yep.
SMU.
That one's
– SMU's a better team.
Yeah,
so
for
that
sure.
One's definitely a tough
that
game.
One's at TCU.
At TCU.
Then they're at Arizona State. Then they host Colorado. Then they're at K-State. Then they host Baylor. Then they're at West Virginia. We know how difficult that can be.
Yeah.
Then they host Iowa State. Then they're at BYU, at Houston.
Yeah.
And finish up at home against UC. So
yeah,
they got some hard road games.
Okay,
man.
So they're going to be battle tested.
Yeah, they got some hard road games.
And I still think with Belichick, I think they'll beat North Carolina. But that's always a question mark kind of game when you got Bill Belichick.
You have no idea.
How do you know what's happening
there?
His girlfriend might be coaching.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them next week when we go through.
But I think Tuna and I, it's safe to say that we like BYU and we like this TCU team.
Definitely. They're a team that can win the league. I believe that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough run, but they can win the league.
Now at number six. At number six, we have a team that I think has a real chance to win the league. But they've got them ranked number six. You guys want to take a guess who this is?
Fred.
I'm not doing it again. But if it's one of my other five teams, then me and Phil still are going
to
battle.
Now's your time to get it right.
All right, Utah.
No.
Gotcha. It's Baylor.
No, it is not Baylor.
Damn.
Dude.
It's Texas Tech.
Oh God.
No. Phil Steele's a moron.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. This team is loaded.
This team
dude.
Is good.
Which is why I said this is a team I think can absolutely win the league.
If you told me right now, name three teams from the Big 12 that can crack the top 10, Texas Tech is on that list.
Yeah, I agree.
And interestingly enough, in everything that I read about Texas Tech, for the first time maybe that I can ever remember, everybody's talking about the defense.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about the defense.
Yeah.
When, you know, Texas Tech is known as, you know, the air, whatever they call
they
it.
They may have the best linebacker in the conference.
Yeah.
Rodriguez. He's tough.
Yeah, but the air raid and the throwing 100 times a game and winning 65-58. Well, now they've grown a defense there in Lubbock.
Yep.
And Yeah,
dude, their D line might be better than it. Probably is the best in the conference.
I think them and maybe BYU could be coming in second.
Right.
That linebacker Rodriguez is thought to be a possible all conference guy. They have three defensive linemen that are going to possibly be in contention for. All Big 12.
Yeah, David Bailey is the big stud on that defensive line.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, and Lee Hunter is another one. So, I mean,
Hunter and Bailey.
Yeah,
dude.
You got two big time guys. Yeah.
D line.
This is no respect for Joey McGuire and the boys this season, man. I'm a big fan of this Texas Tech team. So, they, Phil Steele, that's just craziness out of his mouth. He may have wrote that preview back in like February or something.
I really don't get that.
And again, I believe that I'm pretty sure all six of these teams, he said, I mean, you kind of can throw them in a blender almost, but Fred is going to I think both of you, given what you have guessed, are going to massively disagree with who he has towards the tip top of this league.
I mean,
let's move to number five. Who do we think Phil Steele's prognostication is for number five?
I mean, I feel like I have to go Baylor here.
The only thing I could do, if I can't take freaking Utah, then it would be Baylor for me. Maybe K-State.
It is indeed Kansas State.
Whoa. Okay. You know what? I don't hate that.
And how do we feel about their quarterback? He's Avery
Johnson.
Yeah, Avery Johnson. Yeah. I mean, he's an exciting player. I mean, he can make things
happen.
Yeah,
they have a decent little running back that's back there with him.
They always do,
man. And, you know, I guess that's what
Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
What do they call, like an H-back or whatever? He's kind of – they both run the ball. So, but – yeah, Kansas State kind of did what Kansas did last year. They kind of disappeared in some games.
Well, I think I need to see Avery Johnson grow up before I can get on board with him.
Right, right.
He thinks he's capable of things
that maybe he's not.
Like, maybe his first start was in that Pop-Tart Bowl, the inaugural Pop-Tart Bowl, and we all was like, this kid is the future.
Yeah.
And I think he came in a little arrogant.
Yeah.
Maybe –
I think he
was the off-season darling, and maybe he got humbled a little bit, and he focused
in. A couple of those early games were toughies for them, too.
They
were
a little
humble.
He has a
quick
little Dylan Raiola in him, maybe.
Didn't
that
they
kid
play
from
an
Nebraska
SEC school, like somebody that kind of whooped him in the mouth last year? Somebody, maybe it was one of their own teams that whooped him in the mouth. It may have been Arizona State or somebody.
They got whooped a few times in the mouth.
But, yeah, I think he started the game off. The year off last year, a little rough, and then he found his niche. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they went 9-4.
This is his second year as a starter,
right?
So it's I think it's how they won, or which was like what we didn't expect. Now Chris Klieman is probably he's probably one of the better coaches in all of college football. The guy does great year in and year out. Yeah. It's
is he a Bill Snyder? Is he out of that mold?
What didn't he? Wasn't
I thought
he, like
he
a,
was
Boise State mold or something?
Oh yeah.
They got smoked by BYU last year.
Yeah,
that was really their only bad loss.
Right. Mm. Okay. So I thought they had an out of conference team that got him, but maybe that could have been Kansas. I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they beat.
I think Arkansas. Man,
they beat
Kansas.
Tulane,
somebody.
Arizona. Oklahoma
They beat a good Tulane team.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember that game.
Yep. That was the big game, and that one came down to the
we
wire.
We all took Tulane in that game.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
That was at Tulane, too,
right.
I believe.
I'm wrong about that. Okay.
It was at
now,
Tulane.
Now, they do have a good – they have a decent linebacker coming back on Romaine, Austin Romaine. But and I do think their defense is – what more equipped and better than, say, a Kansas team or even Utah, in my opinion. I think they have more stability back there.
I like this Utah team. But My problem is like who they're going to throw the ball to. I mean, what Jace Brown is what the only returning receiver.
Well, no, you're right. You're right. And they do not have a lot of receivers or tight ends.
He can't really get open. This is a guy that's like he's a downfield guy, and that's it. Like he's not a possession. I don't know who their possession guys are going to be.
No,
there's a lot of unknowns with Kansas State, which is crazy because there's a lot of other media outlets that are picking Kansas State to win the Big 12 out of the gate. And
there were two that I looked at today that had them. I saw one today myself.
I kind of agree with Phil Steele a little bit. Maybe not. What are they, six right now?
Fifth.
Okay. Fifth. Well, that's maybe. I don't know. Maybe fourth.
I had them fourth. Fourth. Well, yeah. I have them fourth, of course, ahead of someone else.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of fourth,
I can't wait to get into this.
Speaking of fourth, guys, who do we have at number? Who do we think we have at number four?
I have to pick Utah.
Yeah. Well, it ain't Arizona State, Iowa State, or Texas Tech. I can tell you, Baylor.
No, we already had.
I mean,
Texas
not
Tech.
Baylor.
We already had Texas.
I mean, not Texas Tech or Baylor. It can't be them. So it's Utah.
It's Arizona State. Arizona State.
All right. That is way off. I mean, I have Arizona State the best team in this conference again. And I'm not just saying that because they made the playoff. They have – anyways, we'll get to them.
We love their quarterback.
Phil still put down the weed.
We already know they –
so,
Arizona
State's the – what he's –
yeah,
so
we're talking about Arizona State.
I don't know. Sam Levitt is the toughest dude in football.
Yeah, and
we love him.
Battle-tested dude.
Kenny Dillingham is just a –
He's a great coach. He's been over the hump. Jordan Tyson's one of the best receivers in the country, as Tunari talked about. I mean, they've got a great O-line, in my opinion, coming back.
They
got
to replace Scadabo.
Right, but they got a good defense coming back. They got a good defensive line coming back. I just maybe he's thinking that their corners and their DBs are a little off there, and that could maybe be – I think Iowa State's got them beat on the DB in a big rivalry match like in the SEC, for instance. If you got good DBs and you lost good DBs, you're in trouble against a team like Georgia and Bama. Whereas Iowa State and I think Arizona State are gonna be two. They're looking to play each other in a heated game. Maybe they are missing some of that secondary.
They have another young wide receiver that I'm excited to see. One of the rare transfers to get out of Clemson. I believe he was a five-star, Noble Johnson.
Did they get Noble Johnson?
Noble Johnson.
I did not know that because I know Clemson still has Wesco and the other kid.
Johnson and was it Jaren Hamilton?
I don't know, but I love
Jaren Hamilton's from Alabama.
I did not know that Noble Johnson transferred.
Yeah, Noble Johnson and Jaren Hamilton, Bama boys.
Oh, that's good. With Levitt throwing him the ball?
Yeah, so.
They feel like they're better than
I'm curious to see. He may be like Big 12 newcomer of the year, the name that nobody really knows.
Right.
And then, I don't know. That's a little low for me. This is a team that could easily win this conference.
I think they're the favorite in the conference, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, they went the farthest. They have, they have more to lose. But I mean, I think they're even though they don't have Scadabo, I think they are still purring with momentum.
I will never bet against that quarterback.
No, how could you?
No matter what is happening,
he
I will never
hands
bet
down
against
one of
him.
The toughest.
Yeah, and then you got the wide receiver that brought him back in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, like.
Absolutely. So I think we're all on board that we all love this team, and none of us would be even a little bit surprised if they win the league. Which brings us to Phil Steele's third team.
I'm choking on ice over here.
I mean, it's got to be Baylor.
Freddie?
Utah!
It is neither one of those teams. It is Iowa State.
Oh, my!
Dude, that's my second best team in the Big 12. Is it yours? I mean, I'm
he must
sorry.
Be just like a Sawyer Robinson fan.
Did he watch these two teams at the end of the year and see that they have returning people coming back that are in important positions?
Again, man, this guy's just fishing for clicks.
Rocco Beck. I mean, let's keep going. How about this coach that is one up and coming guy? I'm loving Iowa State's coach,
Matt Campbell.
I love his defensive prowess. This is the best defensive team in the Big 12. I'm going to go out and tell you right now. And last year they were too. And I'm telling you, how many times has Fred said, bet Iowa State in the under?
So what's with the defense here? Because they did lose like three of their top four linemen.
They did, and they had a cover corner that shut a lot of people down.
Four of their top six of their secondaries gone.
No, they did, and I know their corners were great last year. They did a lot of the work where put people on islands where they were shutting down. So they have missed out on those guys. But, you know, they bring back Jontez Williams. Mm-hmm. That's another DB. I think he's going to be like maybe that safety role
And Jeremiah Cooper are both like going to be playing safeties and they float.
But dude, think about it. They lose two great corners and they still got two great DBs back there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe their defensive line could be off. I know they got Dominic Orange on a defensive line who was great last year. A couple other guys. I don't know. I'm missing out on what Iowa State needs, except maybe a couple wide receivers. Do you have any info on the wide receivers or the running back?
No.
I mean, is there any help for him there? Maybe that's why they don't have them.
But this is going to be a running team first, I believe.
Well, they're a slow-down team. They're going to slow the clock down.
The average size of their line, 6'6", 322. That's good size. They got those two physical little running backs back, Carson Hansen and Abusama.
Okay.
They're both back. So this is going to be a ball-control Iowa State team.
I like that Hansen kid.
Mm-hmm.
That tailback, he's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell y'all right now, guys, this is my pick to win the conference.
Iowa State?
Yeah.
Okay.
This year.
Well, they're
getting 3 points in Farmageddon.
Yeah.
That's already dropped. It opened at 3.5.
Yep. Nice.
So.
Now we move to number two, according to Phil Steele. Fred, I'm going to go ahead and let you pick.
Oh, God.
I'm going to have you pick
Johnny Utah.
It is indeed
Utah. Is he the quarterback?
He has Utah as his number two. A couple other things I was reading over the last few days have Utah very high. And then there are an
because
equal.
Because they were rock bottom?
There are
I mean,
an equal number of people who say Utah is wildly overrated and should be nowhere near the top of this conference. I have a feeling the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Tuna, how do you
somewhere
see
in
it?
The nugget.
Look, I'm a Kyle Whittingham fanboy.
I know you are.
I like this team. I'm not worried about how he builds talent. He builds teams for what he needs.
I know.
He's got a
great program.
Talk about tough places to play at night. A great little quarterback coming in from New Mexico. Devin Dampier. If you
yes.
watched New Mexico Lobos
yes.
last year, I think they were picked to be preseason one of the worst teams in football.
He could be newcomer of the year.
Yeah, he
Big
could.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
He took over for Pavia, right?
Pavia is New Mexico State.
Oh, New Mexico State.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, Devin Dampier, look, I trust Kyle Whittingham. I like that. I'm not saying they're going to win this conference, but they could finish in the top two or three, for sure. Okay.
Well, Fred had him like he was picking
him
at like 11
or
something.
I have Utah not having a very good year. I see them breaking even. I think they have a good offensive line. I think they have a rookie quarterback coming in. I don't know their – and other teams, I don't know really their running backs or wide receivers just yet, which I think those two things are important for a newcomer. I do know that two good offensive linemen matter. And they do have that. Their whole line's good. But defensively is where I'm really, really worried for them. They got shellacked last year by a lot of teams. They could not stop anybody. And I haven't seen them make – I haven't seen any returners or anyone that is proving any way otherwise that they are going to be able to play quality defense. And usually when Utah is doing well, they are stopping teams with a good defense and having a low-scoring type game. I love the coach. I love the program. Believe me, I'm not trying to dog them out, but I had Utah like ninth.
Yeah, this defense I think is really good. I really do. I mean, okay. They got guys coming back. You know,
this
Logan
is our
Fano,
first big disagreement.
Londra Barton, Lavani Damani, Smith Snowden is a stud back there at the quarterback spot. Like, right. and I honestly believe, you know, Kyle Whittingham, this guy's got a record, overall record, 167-86.
I know.
And I call him the Mountain Jeff Brohm. Like, if you move Jeff Brohm to the mountains.
I can see that.
They're the same type of person. They have their own style. Like, the way they approach media, everything. I love Kyle Whittingham, and I trust Kyle Whittingham to finish towards the top of the league every year. So,
okay. Well, he didn't last year.
Now that the Cam Rising situation's over with, yeah.
Well,
and he knows
is.
What he's looking at going into the season.
I get it, but
you know
he
what I mean?
Didn't last year. He
yeah, but
did not do that last year.
Say, you know, Jeff Brohm, you got Louisville coming in last year, and then, you know,
I know.
Starting quarterback's done. What are you going to do? We win like four games maybe.
I'm with you.
That changes up a lot. So, I'm all about Utah. I don't mind Phil still picking him up that high.
And so that leaves us with his number one pick, which he has Baylor. As you mentioned before, Sawyer Robertson comes in from Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we've
probably
never
the
really...
best draft pick in the league, maybe. Overall draft pick. NFL quarterback, maybe.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, have we seen enough of him to make that?
I watched him and read a little bit about him, and that's what.
I mean, he hasn't played that much, right?
I'm talking about prospect.
We'll see. That's a bold prediction. I love it. Stick it out there, dude.
Yeah. Well, a bold prediction is putting Baylor first in the freaking conference.
That's what I'm saying. This guy must have.
That's a bold position. So apparently, if the quarterback is the guy with the ball in his hands, he thinks he's going to do something great.
Well, yeah. I would suspect so.
I mean, they did finish, like I said, them and TCU, they probably finished the year, those two teams, better than everybody else in this league. So if you're going to go off momentum.
No, they got a great running back. They've got – they're kind of spaced out everywhere.
Do we like their coach?
Dave Aranda?
Yeah.
I've got nothing against him.
I think
he's just kind of there. Like, he doesn't – he's a Dodger fan, so I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Of course.
He was always good to our buddy.
They got good linebackers. They have a kick returner that's very elusive. He does everything.
Guy Parker Kingston.
He's Dawson kind of Pendergrass. In the slot.
His name.
Plays slot. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, good for Phil Steele for picking Baylor. I could see Baylor. You know, again, like I keep saying this with so many teams.
Josh Cameron.
Yeah, I just I don't know if Baylor's going to win this conference. They're sure as hell not going to compete for a national championship.
Right.
So I'm not sure any team in this league, except for maybe one, could compete if they have the kind of year I think they're going to have.
And so quickly, Fred, we're not going to
pull these teams.
I'll start with Tuna then. We're not going to go 16 down. Let's just say we go from, what do you want to go, 10 to 1, how you think they're going to finish?
Yeah. I'm going to put Texas Tech number one. I'm going to put Arizona State number two. I'm going to put Utah number three, Kansas State four, Iowa State five, TCU 6.
Okay. Colin sent me his Big 12 picks this afternoon. He's got Texas Tech winning the league, Arizona State number 2, K-State number 3, Baylor number 4, and Iowa State number 5.
He has Texas Tech winning the league also?
He does.
All right. That a boy, Colin.
There you go. I'm also I'm leaning Arizona State,
mm-hmm.
but I'll have Texas Tech and Arizona State as battling 1-2 with Utah right behind them at number 3.
Yep.
Those will be my top 3. Fred, you got a top 3 for us?
I got a top 6.
All right, give us a top 6.
Okay, I got Arizona. I'm sorry. I've got Iowa State at the top.
Okay.
I've got Arizona State second. I've got Texas Tech third. I've got TCU fourth and Kansas State fifth and Baylor sixth.
All right.
And Utah seventh.
I love that. So that, man, I think that was really good. If you happen to be listening to this program and you know someone who is a college football fan first, and especially if you know someone who is a Big 12 fan or has a team in the Big 12, would love for you to let them know about the show, let them know they can find it wherever they find their favorite podcasts. And we would welcome your feedback on our social media at Blockout Pod on Twitter, and just type in Blockout Sports Pod into your Facebook. As we are in a downstairs pub, and Freddie is sipping on what flavor of High Noon you got there tonight?
I got mango tonight. I'm feeling a little mango.
On his mango High Noon. Yeah. We want to get out of here before the Home Run Derby starts tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and call last call and shoot it over to Tuna.
All right. I just got one thing real quick. And no, it's not the Joey Freshwater controversy. But it's... So we've seen a growth in women's professional sports recently, and I think it's kind of awesome. You know, women's soccer is blown up. The WNBA is getting, you know, higher viewership than ever. There's a league starting up that I've been seeing commercials for, I believe, on ESPN that I'm pretty excited about. It's women's professional softball. And the College Softball World Series – College Women's Softball or College Women's World Series, it actually gets higher ratings every year than the Men's College World Series. It's if you haven't watched a fast pitch softball game, it's one of the most exciting sports you
watch. I love it. And I love it in the Olympics too.
Yeah. So,
remember they took it away from the Olympics and they brought it back.
Now, this is the one thing that I did miss that I don't know the answer to is when they're gonna start playing this. You can't do it during football season.
No.
So I don't know if it's going to be, but they're airing commercials for it. So that scares me that it's coming up soon.
I suppose if you had them on like a Tuesday night or something like that, maybe you might be able to get some viewership for it, but you certainly can't put it on a Saturday or Sunday during football season because nobody will look at it.
And once like the action starts, you know,
that's true too.
Cause you have 7 days of football.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kills anything competing against it.
I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah, women's softball is probably one of the funnest sports to just, like, sit back and watch. So, that's all I got.
All right, Freddie, what do you got for last call tonight?
I'm looking around here. I'm kind of wanted to tell everybody about the Haskell Stakes is this weekend. There's some great runners running in it.
They better be.
The likely field in this, guys, is Journalism.
Okay.
Winner of the Preakness. Gosker, the runner-up in the Preakness. Burnham Square, grade one winner. Goal Oriented, which is a Bob Baffert trained horse. Kentucky Outlaw, that's Tuna's probable contender. Moplex coming off a win.
He met a couple of Kentucky Outlaws on his trip a couple weeks ago.
Right. Moplex, who won the Ohio Derby. This is a good field. National Law, probable contender. Wild Crazy Night. A Jersey Bred. Trying to become the second Jersey Bred to ever win the Haskell. But anyways, this is running out at Saratoga. Monmouth Park this weekend on Saturday. So keep your eyes out for that one.
Did you see the jockey races?
No.
They had jockeys lined up in the starting gates. There was like 20 of them.
Oh, really?
And they broke the gates and they just ran. And it was pretty electric.
Mercy. Well, and I know we kind of hit on Home Run Derby for a minute, but I wanted to give you all my choice. My money is on and who I am picking, and that is, what's his name, Tuna from the Pirates?
Well, Jesus.
Paul Skeens?
If it's your pick,
Home Run Derby.
O'Neal Cruz. no relation to Pablo Cruz, the yacht rock band from the 80s. There you go, buddy. I also wanted to congratulate my cousin's team in Russell County. They are state champions in the state of Kentucky. They played down here at PRP Park.
In what sport?
In baseball.
Oh, thank you.
And they are state champs. I mean, they came in. They won it.
They beat Trinity?
They are 8-under. The All-Stars are Cal Ripken state champions of Kentucky.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I wanted to thank those guys. They were the Russell County Lakers. Congratulations.
Way to go, Lakers. Quickly.
It's a Lakers moniker that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. We, obviously as the football season fast approaches, we will certainly be focusing on football as we did tonight. But we do have what is one of my favorite sporting events of the year coming up this weekend, which is the British Open.
Yes.
We don't have time to break it down or talk about it, so I thought I'd go, Tuna, Fred, top of your head, give me a pick to win.
Tyrrell Hatton.
I mean, this is our favorite tournament. Mm. Tuna loves waking up to some coffee in the morning. Travis's with his country ham and scrambled eggs.
I just feel dignified. Yes. You got to have baked beans with your breakfast. Yeah. You got to have jowl bacon and baked beans.
I think
beans.
Is blood playing, pudding. Yeah. Playing better than average is throughout the whole year. I think having a really good year who has not really showed out at this tournament. I'm going, and he's not really one of my favorite golfers, but Colin Morikawa is who I'm choosing to win this.
And it will be a shock to everyone here and all of our listeners that at Royal Portrush in Ireland, I am taking Rory McIlroy to win the British Open. Coming off a second place, I think he was second or third in the Scottish Open. But that is this coming week. Can't wait for that. We will talk about that next week. We will also be doing our ACC football conference preview next week.
We will not be talking about Wake Forest.
Probably not.
Or Boston College.
So for those of you locally, we'll certainly be getting into Louisville, but we'll be getting into all their conference rivals. We very much look forward to that. Want to thank everybody for listening. Again, if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, let them know they can find it wherever they find their favorite podcasts. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.